Thanks, everybody. I'm very pleased to announce the Labour Party Labour Caucus lineup. You've all had the sheets, but let me just run through a few points first. Just want to say we've emerged from this contest a more unified and energised caucus than when we went into it. The lineup is based foremost on talent, which we have in abundance, but it's also on the need for balance across the caucus as well. We will need to make use of all our 34 MPs, and that is why you'll see that some of the more significant portfolios are actually held by those who are not necessarily in the front bench. It's a fresh lineup, but it has an obvious focus. It emphasises the messages that I've been sending since taking over the leadership of having a clean, green, clever and innovative New Zealand, for a New Zealand that gets behind and supports families and communities, and for a New Zealand that rewards hard work and talent. It also recognises the problems facing New Zealand and the need for a plan and vision to grow our economy. We acknowledge we've got some work to do to bring New Zealanders back to Labour and to have them see that Labour is the party that will bring about an exciting and fresh vision and future for this country. Just run through the portfolio list that you have in front of you. I will be taking over the science and innovation portfolio. That should be seen as a signal that this area is an important area for us and an area we want to pursue. Grant Robertson will be taking on environment, again, as a signal that the environment is at the top of our agenda. But he also takes on tertiary education and skills. These are the means by which we'll be able to build that innovative economy that I talked about. David Parker will have the finance portfolio. David will bring a different perspective, I think, to the finance portfolio, will be a good use of his huge intelligence. Jacinda Ardern takes over social development. Jacinda is an extraordinarily talented and hard-working MP who has been shadowing part of this portfolio in the last term and will step right into it very quickly. David Cunliffe takes over economic development. This is an extremely important portfolio because in some ways it brings together the other aspects that I've talked about before in driving forward the economic vision for our future. Clayton Cosgrove will be looking at the state owned assets. In particular, he'll be our bulldog, which will be leading the charge against their sale. But he also takes on commerce and small business. And this is important because we want to elevate commerce and small business up the order to emphasise the importance of that. Shane Jones looks at regional development, fisheries, Maori development. Again, it's a focus on the provinces and regional development, something that I don't think we did adequately enough during the election, and will provide a real focus on the provincial part of New Zealand. And Anaya Mahuta, we're taking on education. She's passionate about this area. She brings big experience and talent to the area, and I think she will be more than a match for Hekia Parata on the other side of the house. I'll leave it at that, and I'm happy to take any questions that you might want to
David Cunliffe has been able to hold on to a very senior role. What's behind that?
It just reflects his talent. As I said, he is a really talented politician. He's got lots of experience in this area. He's got international experience as well. I think he'll do a really good job, and I'm very, very pleased to have him in that role.
Did he string the quid if he wasn't held?
No, there wasn't anything like that at all.
Is that the original ranking you offered him?
I offered him the job, and we talked about rankings, and he's happy with it.
And what's the associate finance delegation?
That's to be sorted out finally with between David Parker and himself and the rest of the other finance team.
Will his responsibility be to oppose Stephen Joyce in that?
Yes, it will be. He'll be up against Stephen Joyce, and I think, as you've probably seen him before against Stephen Joyce, he'll be more than a match for Stephen Joyce.
So the fourth ranked position in the economic development portfolio were the first portfolios and position that you offered David Cummings?
I offered him economic development at a number at that slot there, and he took it. I was very happy that he did.
Did you give any consideration to leaving him in the finance role?
No, not really, because I saw David Parker as providing a different perspective than what David Cunliffe had done before, and I thought David Cunliffe could do a, given his background, could actually provide us also with a new, fresh look in the economic development space.
When you say different perspective, what do you mean by that?
I think David Parker will just look at the finance role differently. He's a very forensic thinker in the way he goes about things. So it'll just provide a different perspective of what we've had in the last 3 years.
Was there any deal or arrangement with David Parker beforehand for that finance role?
No, there wasn't. I made it very clear before that I made no promises to anybody before while I was in the leadership contest.
You suggest inside that David Parker's approach, that he'll be more detailed in his analysis of what the government's up to than David Cunliffe was.
I think it'll be different. I'm not saying that it'll be better or worse. I think it'll just be very different. And I think that very detailed work that he'll do around that will provide a different emphasis and perhaps an area where we can drill down a little more into what the government's planning to do.
So why will the different emphasis be?
Well, we'll see when he comes out of the scene.
Science and environment are not highly ranked portfolios in the national ministry, as far as I can tell. Is there anything we should read into that? Are you intending to try and outflank them or something?
No, I think what we're looking at is that growing our economy, which is one of the most important things that we can do here, which is emphasised very much in the lineup, will hinge on science, innovation, economic development. And in and around the environment as well.
What's your thinking behind not ranking such a large group of experienced MPs?
We felt that the first 20 was in a sense what would be in otherwise a shadow cabinet, but as you can see from that, there is also some huge experience in that area as well.
There's also some 50 portfolios that you left out of the shadow cabinet, including Māori Affairs, climate change, police. What's the thinking there?
Well, as I said before, there are some very, very able politicians. You can't put absolutely everybody into that top 20. There's some very able politicians. I would like to think that those people who have got those portfolios will be able to prove themselves over the next year or so, and I would look in about 12 months or whatever to have a review of portfolios based on their performance.
Did you check the portfolios partly on who they would oppose in the House, in terms of Jacinda versus Paula?
In part, but I wanted to see somebody who could obviously step up to the mark and also take those particular portfolios forward.
Ruth Dyson's off the front bench and out of the shadow cabinet. Why?
She's still in taking on more or less the same roles that she had before. You can't have everybody in the top 20, and I promised that I would have a fresh look and a fresh change, and that's what I've delivered.
Do you think Nanaia would be education if she hadn't have been David Cunliffe running up?
Oh, it's impossible to say. I mean, but I do think that she has got real experience to bring to that. She communicated to me that she had a real passion for it and wanted to do it, and I said I thought that would be a great opportunity for her.
What's Karakura Harami done wrong?
He's not done anything wrong. He has signalled that at some point he will be leaving, but the other thing about it is that we have two very, very talented Maori politicians on the front bench.
You talk about it being a fresh start, but I'm looking at your front nine, your front bench. Two-thirds of those people are either former ministers or former associate ministers under the Clark government.
Well, you can't put the four that came on fresh today right bang smack in the front bench. I mean, this is a mixture of freshness, newness and experience. And we will rely on that experience as well. We've got Annette King and Phil Goff sitting in the second row, who are possibly the two best debaters in the House, who will be backing us up as well.
Just in the finance area, you've just switched those portfolios between two people, between Parker and Cunliffe. Does that signal that the policy decisions that were made last time around, the big things, like compulsory savings, CGT, they're locked in?
Yeah, in terms of policies, we're not looking to change policies up front and on the hoof. What we're looking to do is to take a good look at them, and particularly the financial economic portfolios, in light of where the forecasts are going, and make some decisions after we've consulted based on that.
Also, in light of the fresh start and the finance, it seems that hasn't really changed much.
taking Cosgrove as associate finance. He was under Gough, and same with Trevor Mallett. It just seems that the finance team was exactly the same.
Well, I think that if you there's a different personalities in different positions. They're quite different positions. You have to look at the newness and the freshness in terms of Grant, myself and Jacinda, and three of the top four slots there have been held by people who were not, with Grant limited time on the front bench. So there is a real freshness and change, but we also have to rely on that experience as well.
It seems as though you're happy with the way the finance team works.
Well, the finance team has been changed. Obviously, Parker's in finance.
It's the same people, though. It's the same
But I think you'll see a different emphasis, and I think that's what I was trying to emphasise when I started off my presentation this morning.
Well, Street Vision and Health Portfolio, which presumably is one of, you know, a pretty big focus area for an opposition.
She's somebody that I think that can. It is a big portfolio. She expressed an interest in it. I think she can. She is the capacity, the intelligence, the hard work to get through it. And I'm very, very happy with her taking on that role.
She was rather, I suppose, quiet maybe last term. Do you think she's sort of got that spirit to take on and make a dent in the National's health portfolio?
I do. I think she does. She was also had Foreign Affairs last time, which is not a portfolio that necessarily shines in the House. It's not as meaty as health. But she's keen and eager, and I think we'll wait and see how she performs. I think she'd be great.
Shane Jones is back in a high-ranking role. You obviously think that he is quite rehabilitated from the spending of taxpayers' money on porn.
Look, Shane is a real talent, a hugely big talent in terms of his oratory, his ability to crunch big economic issues down to small ones, and he's going to be very, very valuable on that front bench.
You're not concerned about that?
No, I'm not. No.
How much of it, when you look at, say, the top 10 with Shane Jones, and David Cullen, Sir William Sewell, how much of that was about bouncing up from the leadership contest to make sure that those who had supported David Cullen didn't feel that they were being squeezed?
Oh, look, first and foremost, as I say, it's based on talent. But then there's a lot of other things that we need to balance off. We also, in the Labor Party, we put a lot of importance, for example, on gender and making sure that women are up the list as well. So there's a number of other issues that function there. But the importance is that we come out of this united, fresh, and strong, ready to go into 2012.
Just looking at that issue of women, there's only two women now on the Labor Party front bench. National's got three. I mean, they're better represented than you.
Well, in the top 20, though, you'll see that we're actually better represented than they are. That's what I would say.
What's the balance being between gender balance and actual ability?
I'm saying it's important to have a balance as alongside the talent as well. I said talent comes first and foremost, but clearly we need balance there too.
Jacinda Ardern's the top ranked woman. First term, she's climbed to be the highest ranked woman in the Labor Party. What's the thinking behind that?
I think she's a huge talent, and people have seen her in the House and seen her perform will agree with me. She's also really hard working, and she's been tracking that portfolio over the last 3 years as well.
You've taken the earthquake responsibilities off Clayton Cosgrove. Is that a sign of how we're performing?
No, not at all. I mean, this is something that Leanne Dalzell expressed an interest in. Clayton was wanting to move into the more economic areas, and I welcome that. And I particularly welcome the fact that he'll be our vanguard on the sale of assets. That's the area that he also shadowed last term as well. So he's across the detail and he can get straight into it. And as you know, he's a formidable debate in the House as well.
Did Andrew Little want more than just ACC?
He was delighted with ACC. I think ACC is going to be one of those areas that we are going to have to really contest strongly in the coming 3 years. And having Andrew there, he brings in not only his own abilities, but he brings in some outside experience as well from what he was doing before.
Can I just go back to David Parker and the way you bring a different focus? As leader, what is the different focus that you're wanting in finance and the economy?
What I'm meaning by that is that when we're looking at the economic issues facing New Zealand, David Parker has a Well, as I say, you've got to know David Parker to understand how he's going to do that, but he's got some ideas about how he wants to do that, and I want to give him a shot.
But what is it you see in him in that role over Mr. Cunliffe? Different can mean worse.
Yeah, David Parker's somebody, as I said, if I describe his mind, he's very forensic, very creative mind. I think he'll approach it, and particularly there's the opposition to Bill English at a different way as well. But exactly how that's going to play out, we'll see when it actually happens.
Did you ask Bill Gough what he wanted, or just offer him foreign aid?
Like all of the MPs, we did a bit of a round and what was interesting and what interested them and what they wanted. Phil was would like to have done wanted to do foreign affairs and trade. As you can imagine, I was delighted he did. He's got massive experience in that area.
Kevin Millard indicated his intentions. He's obviously the leader of the House and seems to be taking the back seat, sort of. But he's obviously the other most experienced person you have in this.
Trevor's can move into a whole bunch of different areas and work those quite confidently wherever he goes. And so Trevor will be doing exactly that. But leader of the House is going to be important in leading us forward, making sure this first, particularly as we go forward, that beds in well.
Are you expecting him to leave next term? Or?
No, I have no indication of that.
So just to be clear, the first position that you offered David Cunliffe was number four. You offered him that.
No. I offered him what, I offered him what he is now, and he accepted.
Just five.
Oh, five.
Five, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I see. So you offered him five.
Five and he accepted five, so I was very happy.
Sorry, just can't count. Yeah. And you offered him
economic.
So there's been no.
Sorry, yeah.
But there's been no change in his position since that first offer, the portfolio or the ranking?
No, I offered him economic development at number five, and David took it.
And how long did he take to accept that offer? When did you make the offer? How long did it take?
Well, he. I don't want to go into our discussions in any great detail. David, for the first couple of days, said he just wanted to have a bit of a break. And then we had some discussions, and he agreed. And other than that, I don't really want to go into the timing and all that sort of thing.
What time did you finalise your reshuffle today?
Oh, look, there's a few odds and ends that we were fixing up last night, but nothing major.
Is there any agreement that David Cunliffe thinks that he won't challenge your leadership now?
Oh, look, David Cunliffe has said that he's keen to work in this area and he's a good Labour man, and I've got every confidence in him.
Have any deals along those lines been downloaded?
No, there's no deals that would stand up in any way, even if there was.
Is
no.
David Parker to take a different tack in terms of economic policy?
We have to wait and see. I mean, we've had some discussions, but I don't want to flag new policy and new tactics right at the moment, because that's something that we have to sit down and work out, and I don't really want to make that sort of to actually come out and say that way before it happens either. That wouldn't be very smart.
Number two, you put environment up there. Is that acknowledgement that you get taken away on that too much to the
team? No, it's an acknowledgement that some of the innovation that we wanted to move into, where we see our economic development going forward, is going to be around the environment. And there's always a sort of this thing that an environment is traded off against economy, or economy is traded off against environment. We see economy and environment being going forward together. That's the future for New Zealand. That's how we see it.
Your environment is that too. Why is climate change outside the top 20 environment so important?
My answer on that is that Moana Mackey is a scientist by training. She's got some background in that area, and we're going to work together on that in terms of my role in environment and her in climate change. It's about using the skills of the entire 34 MPs that we've got. And Moana is a very talented MP, and I know from my point of view as taking on the environment portfolio, having someone like her doing the climate change aspects of it is great.
Damien O'Connor's in the Shadow Cabinet. Do you think he still thinks the party's being run by a gaggle of
gays? Damien O'Connor is a top guy who looks after that primary industries portfolio really, really well. He's got real credibility out there, so I'm pleased to have him in that cabinet too.
Is that all good? You got three guys on the first page here.
I don't do calculations on that basis.
I understand so there's six left-handed people there too.
So that's not one of your considerations for the balance?
No, not at all.
The emphasis on smart green growth is one that was promoted by a group of prominent businessmen somewhat ineffectively during the campaign, in terms of the pure advantage.
Yes, group. Yes.
And it's obviously a Green Party policy as well. Can you expand a little bit more on this? I mean, the two top portfolios, you and Grant, are both in that area. Are you planning on attacking the government around this area?
No, I'm planning to put forward a different vision for the way that we do things. I mean, the government at the moment bases it effectively, its economic policy on producing protein to sell offshore. It's been effectively the same sort of tactical strategy that we've used since the 1960s. What we're saying is we need to step it up and make it much more innovative and talent-led.
Would it be fair to say that there'll be some MPs nursing bruised egos over the summer? I'm thinking specifically about someone like Subaroni.
Look, unfortunately, in this sort of a type of thing, there's some people are going to be winners, and some people will see themselves as losers. But at the end of the day, we all get together and we come out unified, energised, ready to go.
Do you perceive the government to be weak around that smart green growth area?
I don't think it's put forward a real plan or a vision around that area. I actually. Really, any other area, frankly.
Is this about solutions then? Are you planning on providing a campaign or providing an opposition which is offering a different solution as opposed to attacking the government?
We're going to be doing both. We need to attack the government on the things that we don't agree on, but I think it behoves us also to put forward our vision about the way we want to go forward, and I'll elaborate on some of that tomorrow in the address and reply.
Did Chris Hipkins want to keep places?
He was happy for it to go to Andrew Little.
Are you anticipating this lineup to go full term, or are you open to making changes?
No, I've made it pretty clear that we will look at this. This is the initial lineup, and I think it's a great lineup. But obviously, based on performance, we will review it sometime during the course of the term, and that might be more than once. But it will be based on talent and performance.
Any comment on Waitakere? What's your appetite for an electoral petition in Waitakere? Zero?
We're still talking about that amongst our lawyers and looking at things like cost. Until we actually ascertain the exact nature of it, we're not going to make any decisions on it.
What is your early indication about cost at the moment? Do you have
any estimates? No. There's been various ballpark figures thrown around, tens of thousands of dollars there.
Is that something that you would entertain for
instance? We'd have to go back and have a sit down and think about it first.
Some people have suggested figures as high as 200. Is that on the 200?
Yeah, that's on too high. That I've heard, that's certainly more higher than I've heard. But it's, again, we really need to take a look at what the possibilities are for its success. How much money we want to expend on that. Thinking that probably it's not going to change the composition of Parliament as well, which is the other thing. It's probably going to be, well, at the moment I would say that it's 34 MPs and it's going to be 34 MPs.
What do you make of the fact that Ann Colley, while she's Minister of Education, may have misled the House on that issue to do with the Kura-Kura-Papa principle?
Sue Moroney made that very clear this morning. You've probably heard her interview. I think she hit the nail on the head. We're going to take it up further than that, and certainly take it further when we get back into
the suggestion has been made that if the electoral petition was successful, that Paula Bennett would lose her seat altogether.
Yeah, this is an area where there's some discussion around this and some dispute, and I haven't got a clear reading from anybody yet, and so until I do, I don't really want to comment on how we go forward.
Grant hasn't had a clear reading on that, has he?
What was that, sorry?
Do you have a clearer reading on that?
Oh, look, there's a number of different pieces of advice around them. As David says, that's what we've got to look at.
When will you get information on that?
I would say in the next day or two. We'll look to make a decision.
Are you expecting any of your MPs to retire during the
term? None have suggested they would do that immediately, but there are some that have, like Parakura, for example, said that he would be looking to wind down or to phase out at some point or other, but there's no date, time or anything like that. So as far as I'm concerned, they are fully participating people.
So could we get a by-election?
Well, we'll have to see what happens.
What about other MPs that you've got?
No, there's no other MPs that said to me. Okay, thank you very much. Cheers.